We want to thank you once again for your presence in our midst today. We want to thank you for the many testimonies that have come forth. We also want to thank you for the many blessings that we have experienced. We want to thank you for the celebration of life and of your faithfulness. My Lord and my God, even as I speak your words to your people today, I ask, O Lord, that you will leave an indelible mark upon every life here today in Jesus' name. My Father, my God, everyone that will hear me today, something different will happen in their lives that will draw them closer to you in Jesus' name. Lord, as many as are here this morning, you will not miss your destiny in Jesus' name. The Lord will set you on high and will give you a heart that is fertile for his word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. We can see that our time is gone. Hopefully next week, because the fasting will be over then. Probably won't take so long for us to get through the prayer period. By the grace of God, I want to share with us or continue where we stopped last year. We've been talking about the word that counts. And then the Christmas came and New Year came. And so the Lord led us to share other messages in between. But we have to go back to things where we left them. And just before I go into the message, I just want to, without depriving you. Okay, without depriving you of, I believe, what the Lord is saying to somebody in the house who came and said, who left a message for the church to say that he wants the church to know that he is the one that is God. Wants the church and everyone to know that he is the one who has brought us this far, particularly bringing us to this land, and that the heart of a lot of people are far away from him. God wants us, if we're in that situation, to be restored. The word that the Lord gave is in Proverbs 29 verse 1. Proverbs 29 verse 1. That we need to retrace our steps. And I think it's just timely. Many of us used to know God at a higher level than we currently know him. And you wonder what has come over us. And it ties in with the message for today. As you check Proverbs 29:1, it ties in with the message of today, what I believe God wants to tell us today. So that when we hear the word of God, we should be people who yield to the word. And let's not harden our heart. Sometimes when we hear the word of God, we think it means something different from what it means. That is not it at all. We need to take the word of God seriously. You see, when God starts to speak like this, I'm generally very careful. I've shared with us before a testimony of what happened in the church in 2005. It was after prayer and fasting like this. We actually did it for 7 days that year. And at the end of it, one of the sisters, just where we prayed this morning, one of the sisters said, or God spoke through one of the sisters and said there was going to be a shaking in the church, and that anyone that was not standing right was going to be blown away. You see, I don't take the things of God lightly. It doesn't matter who it may be coming from. As soon as we were going home, we got into the car. I told my wife, I said, you better put your life in order. She's here. And I'm standing before the one who called me. I said, put your life in order so that, you see, I said, when the word of God comes like this, if God could speak through an ass, how much more a human being? I said, you better put your life in order. I said, so that when the gale starts to come, so you will not be blown away. Because I was afraid. I'm usually afraid when I hear the word of God. And that was what happened. Within 2 weeks, the gale started blowing. And we all, some of us know the story. Very, very serious. So, the Lord will preserve you and preserve your testimony in Jesus' name. We will see in today's message, and I'm going to crave for our indulgence because time has gone, to, if you don't mind, just let me spend a bit extra time, praise the Lord, so that we can hear the word of God. One of the things we had this morning is that we must not be slave to time. Let's open to Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to read verse 24 to 28. That's the place we've been reading. It says, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rock. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. The Lord will promote you in Jesus' name. Like I said, this is a passage we've been looking at. We've looked at it for 2 weeks. Today, we are taking a look at verse 27 in particular. When we spoke about the ant, first of all, maybe I better say that God said these creatures are little. He said, but they are exceedingly wise. They are little, but they are wise. So we all want to learn from wise people. We talked about the ability to plan by the ants. And the conies, we talked about the ability to build good foundations, building the rock. Today, we are going to be looking at the locust. The Bible says they have no king. Yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. What the Bible is saying here is that the locusts, they do this because they are wise, even though they have no king. In other words, the people who have kings should actually do better. And despite the fact that locusts have no king, they were capable of organizing themselves. They do things in what? In bands. In other words, in unity and in harmony. You can't talk about band without talking about harmony. Praise the Lord. He said the locusts, they do things in band. That's why the fact that they had no leader. How much more? We human beings, we have leaders. We are going to learn from the locusts today. How many of us have ever seen the devastation caused by locust? It can be more extensive when a plague of locusts lands somewhere. The job they do, some days, maybe 10 tractors will not be able to do it. When a big swarm of locusts descend to a place like this, you will see all that is green, they will eat it up. If they spend like 1 or 2 days here, by the time they move, everything is destroyed. They are so powerful. Locusts, just like grasshoppers, they are so powerful because they are so numerous, and somehow they will all come at once and do such a great damage. How much more we human beings, if we will work together for God, the kind of exploits that we can do. That's what God wants to talk to us about this morning. Remember when we started this series, we said the word that counts is the word of God. And that is what you are hearing this morning. It will count in your life in Jesus' name. We said we should not have our confidence in anything else but the word of God. Can somebody quickly open their Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 11 and 12. He said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Neither is bread to the wise, nor riches to men of intelligence and understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. But what? Time and chance happen to them all. For man also knows not his time of death. As the fishes are taken in an evil net, and as the birds are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when calamity falls suddenly upon them. Calamity will not fall on you in Jesus' name. It is the word of God that counts more than anything. And really, nothing can stand him. Riches, fame, knowledge, degrees, whatever we have, cannot stand God. It's the Lord that can preserve us. The Bible makes us to understand that time and chance happens to what? To every one of us. In other words, where you are today, you are not there by dint. You may think it's by dint of hard work. It is not only your hard work that has put you where you are. You needed to have gone to the right school. You needed to have been taught the right things. You needed to have met the right people. You needed to have passed the right exam. You needed to have spoken to the right people. You needed to have had the right information to be where you are. There are people who are even more brilliant than you and I, and they never make it in life. In fact, what is well known is that the most brilliant people in their classes, they are usually not the famous people. Think of people who are very brilliant in your class. Many of them will run through the mills. They become civil servants. They become public people. They will just go through the mills. One thing they can be guaranteed is that, look, they will always get a job. They will always work. They will make ends meet. But look at some of the people that we wrote off in our classes. They are the people who took their chances. They are the people who sought exam 10 times before they could pass. They are the people who will not do what you will do, and they go around looking for people and make connections, and one day they just hit one contract. You hear that boy, he has made millions, and you look and say, that guy that we were in the class, he was an Olo donor. Okay, he didn't know anything. But you who know something, where are you? Time and chance happens to all, to us all. I'm not saying don't be hardworking. It is good to be hardworking. But I'm telling you, it is the God factor that will distinguish you. I saw something over the weekend, or last week. It was a very pathetic story. Just to illustrate to you what time and chance is. And you know what? I'm not taking this story lightly, because it's a story that touched my heart. It's the story of the flood that has just occurred in Queensland. Many of us who watch TV, did you see the picture of a man, his wife, and their 4-year-old on the car? How many of us saw that picture? Okay, you didn't see. Okay, it was one of the most pathetic pictures, you know, that these people were going to die. They were in the midst of the waters. 4-year-old boy, the father, and the mom, they were sitting on top of their car, and the wave was coming. How many of us knew what happened to them? Huh? But the father. But does that not defy logic? If anyone was to survive in that kind of situation, who should have survived? Eh? The man was the one. You see, I kept thinking about it. The man is the one who ought to have survived in that place. If logically, strength-wise, he probably is a better swimmer. He's probably better than the wife in terms of strength. Better than, of course, 4-year-old son. But somehow, the wife and the son, they are alive, they are saved, and the man has disappeared. You couldn't have said that he disappeared saving them, because if he was saving them, he himself would be alive to be able to produce them. But somehow, time and chance, even in that torrential downpour, time and chance still was a factor. For many of us who have stopped believing the word of God, the God factor in your life is important to make the difference for you. Every day is not flood, but no one knows when flood will come. The places where they had warning, the flood was probably not as bad as places where they didn't even, like Toowoomba, they said before they knew what was happening, the whole place was flooded. Time and chance. We need to take the word of God seriously and don't think it's something else. It is very important. We were talking about unity and harmony among the locals. Of course, we have to be in harmony with God to benefit from the things we are talking about in His. Amos 3:3, I'm sure all of us can remember. Can two walk together except they be agreed? If we are not in agreement with God, then we cannot walk with Him. That same bond of unity is required in our homes. Do you know that as Christian families, we need to be united around certain things? There should be total agreement around certain things. In fact, we should come to a point of agreement over everything as Christian families. It will not be enough to run our home by agreeing to disagree. The locusts, the Bible consider them as small. Yes, yet because they are in agreement, because they are in unity, they can wreak havoc. In other words, nothing is impossible to them. When there is unity in homes, there is nothing that we will not be able to achieve in our homes. For example, it should not be debated whether we should be serving God or not. Like I've told us before, Joshua did not debate it with his family. He simply declared, said, "As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord." When was the last time we have our family altar? When was the last time you, as dad, is taking the forefront in the things of God, leading your family, leading your wife, leading your children? We should be united in raising our children the godly way. Many people will say, "Oh yeah, look, we don't know what's going to pay. We don't even know where things are going. Look, you know." We need to know where we are going, because the Bible is very clear as to where we are going, where the world is going. The Bible is also very clear as to the future for the righteous. So you cannot tell me you are confused. He said, "Mark the perfect man, because the end of that man is what? Is good." Praise the Lord. Mark the perfect man. The end of that man is what? Is good. So you know where you are going. Unite against opposition in your home. There are some of us who have friends. When they visit and they talk to our wives, there will be commotion in that house for the next 2 weeks. Or they talk to our husband, there will be commotion in that house for the next 2 weeks. Some of the things they don't have, they will tell you they have it. The way they run their homes is quite different from what they are telling you. And then you come to your own home and insist that that is what your wife has to do or what your husband has to do. And then they will stay at the back and they will be laughing at you. We have to be united against oppositions. We've been praying for homes, that our home will stand. I've told us before, many of us used to delude ourselves. We think we are so independent. You don't know how much people influence you. People around us do influence us a lot, whether we like it or not. In fact, I can tell you that more than 80% of your ideas are not original, if not 90%. Somebody want to contest that? More than 90% of your ideas are things you see other people do. If we are united in our homes will stand. Your home will stand in Jesus' name. One of the toughest areas for us is usually finance. For us to be united when it comes to finance is really, really can be quite a Herculean task sometimes. How important is it to you that you have that $50, that $500? As opposed to being in a home where you together raise up your children happy and forward looking to the future. I shared a story with us the other time of a 30-year-old guy. And I told you what happened in their home. And what later happened after the parents divorced. we should unite in realizing our ministries. When God has called you, if you see the call of God upon your wife, support them. If you see the call of God upon your husband, support him. Let me tell you something. The reason a lot of people never fulfill their ministry is because, unfortunately, of their spouse. If you are fighting from morning till night, when will he even read the Bible? When are you going to read the Bible? When will you have time for the things of God? When our focus is not godly things, how can we meditate on these things day and night and watch that it does not depart from our eyes? We also need unity in the places of our work. One of the things that will distinguish us as Christians, I want us to open to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. When we go to work, one of the things that will distinguish us as Christians is the fact that we will be willing. We'll be willing to do what we are paid to do. We are not going to join the group of them that complain and disrupt the place. It says, tell bond servants to be submissive to their masters, to be pleasing, and give satisfaction in every way. Warn them not to talk back or contradict. The Bible is talking to Christians. Not to steal by taking things of small value, but to prove themselves truly loyal and entirely reliable and faithful throughout, so that in everything they may be an ornament and do credit to the teaching which is from and about God our Savior. In other words, what we are hearing from here now, we transfer it to our place of work by working in unison with the people we are working with, working with the teams we are working with. If you are going to be late, call them on time. If you are not going to be there, call them on time. Don't just assume. We will not be among the group of people who will talk back and cause confusion. We will not be among the people who will be contradicting them. That's what the Bible says. Even in our nation, we have a role. So long as that thing does not oppose the things of God, we have a role. Go and read Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 7. We have a role to play. What about in the church of God? This is where we are fed. And the kind of diet we eat here is so important. Praise the Lord. The kind of diet we get fed with is very, very important. So the unity of the church is Jesus' desire. As Christian, is the desire of Jesus. Let's open to John chapter 17, verse 11. One of the prayers that Jesus prayed before he left was the prayer of unity, harmony in the church. John 17, verse 11. It says, and now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Praise the Lord. Jesus prayed for the unity of the church. If you receive verse 21 to 23, it also says, That they all may be one, as thou, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Praise the Lord. No wonder during the time of the apostles, whenever they came together as one, dangerous things in righteousness happened. Miracles, breakthroughs happened. What is this oneness about in the church? The oneness is about the work of God. In Mark chapter 3, verse 31 to 35, Jesus was speaking. You remember the story very well. I've shared it many times. That the families of Jesus came, the blood families came. And they told him, he said, here, your mother, your sister, everyone, they are looking for you. What did Jesus say to them? He said, this, the one who are listening to him, this one that do the will of my Father, they are my brothers and they are my sisters. In other words, the one that catch the vision with me. Jesus knew that he was on a mission. A mission to fulfill his Father's commandments. A mission to obtain salvation for the world. So he said, everyone that do it with me, they are my brothers and sisters. Anyone who will share the vision with me. It's the same in my life. Everyone who will share the vision that God has given me is my brother, is my sister. If someone will not want to share that vision with me, Jesus says there's no demilitarized zone. He said if they are not against us, they are for us. In other words, if they are against us, they are not for us. We also need to be united around the love of Jesus Christ. United around the love of Jesus Christ. One of the things that God told me is this. And I'm going to ask you this morning. If God were to answer all your prayers, all your desires today, many of us are praying that God will bless us, we'll be multimillionaires, we'll have this, we'll have that. Let's say God chooses to answer all our prayers as we are now. Right now. Let's say everything, all our needs have been met. We have a guarantee, you cannot have accident, nothing will happen to you. We have that guarantee. Nothing. My question to you is, will you still serve God? If all your needs have been met, will you still serve God? If you are going to serve God, what is going to be the motivating factor? What will be your motivation for serving God? After all has been met. The opposite of that is this. Suppose everything is taken away from you. You pray, nothing happens. Things are going wrong. What will be the factor that will continue to make you to serve God? There is only one thing that needs to keep us attached to God. And if that thing is missing, if we come to Him because of any other reason, when those things disappear, you will disappear with them. And that is what I'm talking to us about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, where Paul says, he said, for the love of Christ controls and urges and impels me. Impels means to makes it compulsory, pushes me. Because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. In other words, I'm embedded in Jesus Christ because his love is the one that propels me, is the one that pushes me, is the one that is the motivating factor. Take away every other thing. If the love of Christ has not started controlling us, if other things control us, when those things are no longer there or when those needs have been met, I'm telling you, you will stop serving God. I'm sure you know a lot of people who used to pray very well. And as soon as their needs are met, Sunday morning, that's when they do their exercise. You know, I've been busy all day, you know. We need to be. There's a new one on the TV. You just hold it and you'll be swinging your waist, you know. It will be Sunday. No, I'm serious. The love of Christ has to be the reason, because it's the desire. If it's any other thing, once those things disappear or the needs are met, that's all. That's what Paul said. And the love of Christ will propel you in Jesus' name. We also need to be united in our desire to make heaven. It says, the Bible says, provoke each other unto what? Good works. Provoke one another unto good works. He didn't say provoke one another to be angry. He didn't say provoke one another to pull them down. He said provoke one another unto good works. We should be united around making heaven. The unity is to please, it's not to please man, it's to please God. One of our prayer points is that we pray for God-centeredness in our churches, not man-centeredness. You see, where there's man-centeredness, faith is thrown out of the window. In my friend's church, one of my friends, you know, I don't want to name the church, it's one of the established churches. They closed down last year. What happened? Why they closed down was because they said the attendance was not very good. They had a downturn. So they voted. It's one of you know the church that votes. So they voted to close the church down because it's not viable. And I laughed. I laughed to myself. You know why I laughed? I just said to myself, I said, how I wish they know what we have gone through. Where is the place of faith? People are voting to sell churches to Hindus, to Buddhists. Where is the place and position of faith? Because it becomes man-centered. In 2001, when Reggie was going, there were 6 to 8 adults left in the church. The DVD is there. I can show you. In fact, we were saying, there were not many blacks or anyone around who was going to come to church. During the send-off ceremony, 8 people came to join the church with us. And say, God, where do we go from here? I was taken over and I said, God, where will we go? 8 new people joined us that day. I mean, many of us know the tsunamis 2005, 2006 that this church has gone through. We could have voted to close the church. We must be united around faith in God, telling each other we can do it. It's not impossible to live above sin. It's not impossible that your prayer will be answered. We must not be a source of discouragement. Anyone who gets close to me, you know me, I will tell you that God will do it. And God has always proven himself to be true. And he will be true in Jesus' name. We need to be united in pleasing God, saying we can do it, and live by faith. We need to be united in God's projects of expansion of his kingdom. Jesus told his disciples, he said, the field is white, but the laborers are few. I pray the Lord of the harvest would send laborers to the field. That's what Jesus said. And it's still our prayer today, that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers to the field. There are souls out there. Where is your anointing for evangelism? A lot of people don't have, we will say we don't have anointing for evangelism. But we'll have anointing for disunity. That is not the kind of anointing you are going to have in Jesus' name. I said that's not the kind of anointing that you're going to have in Jesus' name. Do you know there are little things that make our existence difficult? I mean our coexistence very difficult. Let me tell you, there's something, the psychology of attribution. In other words, how we explain things. Psychologists have found out long ago that when something goes wrong through you or from your hand, you will look at it as a mistake. But when something goes wrong with the other person, you always think they must have thought about it. It's deliberate. We are likely to attribute deliberate acts to other people. In order to establish something, there has to be a pattern. And that helps our ability to forgive each other. It's God's project that we evangelize souls. We must be united against opposition to the work of God. We must be. Because the time is gone. You can look at Acts 20, 28 to 31. Let me just quickly tell you there. Paul was speaking to the elders in Ephesus. Let's go there because this is very important. I want to read from Amplified Version. Acts 20. He says, take care and be on guard for yourselves and the whole flock over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you bishops and guardians to shepherd, that is tend and feed and guide. Take note of feed and guide. You don't just leave them to wander. The church of the Lord or of God, which he obtained for himself, buying it and saving it for himself with his own blood. I know that after I am gone, ferocious wolves will get in among you, not sparing the flock. Even from among your own selves, men will come to the front, who by saying perverse, distorted, and corrupt things, will endeavor to draw away the disciples after them to their own party. Therefore, be always alert and on your guard, being mindful that for 3 years I never stopped night or day seriously to admonish and advise and exhort you one by one with tears. What do I want to take there? The Bible actually says, mark them that cause division among you and have nothing to do with them. Mark them. So in other words, if you know somebody who is going from house to house trying to split, trying to cause confusion, avoid such. That's what the Bible is saying. And the Bible says, shepherd them. Shepherd. For example, I have a responsibility to be another shepherd to Jesus Christ. Shepherding include making sure that people are physically okay. I remember there was a time here, somebody was being disruptive in church. We had to ask him to go. And somebody later came to tell us what actually happened was that he turned on the brother. He ended up in hospital and had to be transferred interstate. One time we had somebody here. We noticed that each time the kids or women are going to the toilet area, this guy will follow them. I quickly went to him outside and said, please, I don't want to ever see you in this church again. Some people come for different reasons. People come to church for different reasons. Somebody came to church and I told my wife, I said, this one, all he's here for is to look for women. And it was a matter of time before he revealed himself. When he didn't get what he wanted, he said, shepherd the flock. Shepherd, you have to protect the flock. Not just physically, you protect them also in terms of doctrine. There are things that people will say that will look like the truth. It may sound very nice, but it's far away from the truth. If you don't listen very well, you don't get the error that is in what they are saying. Ungodly doctrines, including behaviors. Ungodly behavior, you have to shepherd the flock from them. Because the Bible says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole. Once it will become the culture of the church, once people start to do certain things, and it will become the culture of the church. And people will know us for it. People will not know us for what is bad in Jesus' name. Lastly, I just want to show you something from Acts chapter 1. Why we need to be united. Acts chapter 1, verse 16 to 19. I will just show you something there. Listen to this. He says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Can we read verse 17 together? For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Okay, I will read on and I will explain. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Let's forget about that. Verse 17, what I want you to take note is this. There are people who go about preaching the doctrine that, you see, Judas was not to be blamed because he was made for that purpose. Is that true here? The Bible said he had a part of the ministry. He had a portion in Jesus. Judas had a portion in Jesus. Until he did what was wrong. In other words, we may have a portion in Jesus. When we don't do what is right, we can lose our portion. You will not lose your portion in Jesus' name. He said he was numbered among us, and he had a part in this ministry. You see, and had obtained part of this ministry. It was not that they were going to give it to him. He had obtained it. It was his. He had part of the ministry of Jesus. You as children of God, you have a part of the ministry of Jesus. You must make sure you don't lose it. Let nothing come between you and what God has called you to do. I'm telling you, it's so important. Judah didn't realize it. He had a part. You have a part of this ministry. You have a part. And you know what? Where there is unity and brotherly love, the Holy Spirit will come down indiscriminately. He will fill the temple. He will touch the lives of people. Where there is such disunity, what happens is that the Holy Spirit then becomes selective. People who will live right will still enjoy His presence. And my prayer for us this year is that the presence of God will so much saturate our meetings, our services, so much so. Remember, one of the prayer points is that when you go out, touching people will change their lives. Speaking to their lives will change their lives because the presence of God is with you. It can happen because we have distinguished ourselves. And God will distinguish us in Jesus' name. Remember that in Revelation chapter 4, the church in Sardis, there were very few people, but God still recognized them. So even if there are just 3 people, God will recognize them. If there are 2 people, God will recognize them. Even if there is a family, what God wants are people who are available to Him. It doesn't matter. God will not. Somebody came to me and said, look, we were not multicultural. And I said to them, so if a black man gets to heaven, will God chase him out? He said, no.
whoever you may be, Acts 10:35. If you fear the Lord and you do righteousness, the Bible says you are acceptable unto the Lord.
Can we just rise and pray? The locusts, they teach us to be unified. There is nothing we cannot do together. There is nothing that we cannot summon. There is no assignment that God has given us with His grace that we cannot do together and achieve it. In our homes, in our individual lives. Can we just thank God for His word and say, Father, thank you for your word today. I bless your name for your word today. I thank you because I know you have spoken to me. I'm not going to miss my part in Jesus' name. I will not be like Judas who missed his Lord. He had a part of the ministry, but somehow along the line he lost it. I will not lose my portion in Jesus. I will never lose my portion in Jesus. My testimony will stand in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray that your testimony will stand. Pray that your testimony will stand. That the faithfulness of God will uphold you as you show yourself faithful to Him all the days of your life. His grace will sustain you in the mighty name of Jesus. His grace will sustain your home. No wolf will come to your home. No wolf will come and break your home in the mighty name of Jesus. Even that job that God has given you, He will continue to preserve you. All these things can go at once, but as for you, you are not going to be one of those who will lose. Because when time and chance come together, the Lord is going to favor you. The God factor in your life will make sure you are at a point of advantage. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we share the grace in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.